Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the heart of the island's community. Your community, your local station. We are your Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, and online at vectisradio.com.
Good evening and welcome to Vectis Movies. That's right, a movie review show on Vectis Radio on 104.6 and online. As a newly minted Twitter handle tells us, we are Vectis Movies. That's what we are.
Wow, have our own Twitter handle.
Yeah, we have our own Twitter handle and all that. I mean, look at us moving into the 21st century.
Golly.
Or whatever century it is we're in now. So anyway, my name is Tosin, and I shall be your host for the next hour as we go through what is at the cinema, what's hot, what's not, what you should watch, what you shouldn't bother with. And with me, you've already heard her, is Sharon.
Hello.
How are we doing, Sharon?
Alrighty, thank you. How are you, Tosin? I know you had, we are going to hear about this later.
Yes, we are going to hear about this.
You had a particularly late night last night and an early start today. Are you just about holding up?
I'm just about holding up, just about okay. So, right, I think though there's this little movie that's come out. It's like, I mean, I'm not sure it's making that much a big deal. I mean, it's called Avengers Infinity War. And for some reason, they decided to have a midnight screening, like pretty much all across the country.
Yeah, everywhere had it.
5 past midnight screenings, and yeah, there were 5 past midnight. There are loads of people in the cinema. I know it happened on the, definitely on the island. I was in Southampton, and I went to see it. And because obviously Thursdays are my island business days, I usually come over to the island on Thursdays, do the show, meet up with clients, all that kind of stuff. And yeah, so I finished watching the film around about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I looked at it and I thought, well, if I'm gonna get to the island for 7 a.m. for, I might as well just go and catch the ferry. So I went straight from the cinema to the ferry.
Oh,
yeah. So I finished at 3 a.m. in the morning, went straight to the ferry for a 4 a.m. ferry, and I've just been essentially sneaking an hour, half an hour naps, yeah, all here, all across the island on people's couches. So
I said, well, what was open when you got here? Were you able to go somewhere to just chill for an hour before your meetings and stuff?
Thankfully, the floating bridge wasn't working, but they have the launch that goes in lieu of the floating bridge, the Jenny Lee, that was working when I got here at 5 a.m. this morning. And so I've got sons and cows. I'd just like to say, Robin and Debbie Wilson, you guys are absolute legends. So I went there, crashed on their couch for a while. Got up, went into Newport, went to the Island Business Network this morning. Then I have a friend, Miriam Hennessy. Oh, she is such a legend. She gave me her key so I could just go into her house throughout the day. So I was like, right, cool. I got an hour.
Let's have a nap. Power nap.
All right, cool. Let's go meet somebody. I got another. Oh, I got 30 minutes. So I've been surviving on snatching little snippets of sleep. So all things considered, I think I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah, you're looking quite alert to me.
I am. I'm surprised my eyes are this wide open. I really, really am surprised my eyes are this wide open. So we have 3 films to talk about today. And obviously the question people want to know is, was my lack of sleep worth it?
Was it worth it?
Was my lack of sleep worth it? So we'll kick off with the first film we're going to be talking about today, which is obviously Avengers Infinity War. Now, this is a film that the hype for this film is kind of through the roof. Because
there's been four trailers.
Oh, good.
And they've been hinting at it for the last 3 or 4 films, haven't they? The Guardians films have been setting up for Thanos, and the Infinity Stones have been there from the beginning. So it's all been building up to this, hasn't it?
It essentially, the last 10 years, they've been building up to this film for the last 10 years. So there's people who might not be that into the superhero thing, might not really get it or anything like that, but it's kind of hard to actually avoid it nowadays because the hype for this film, it got so bad before this film, I was thinking, I think this might be bigger than Star Wars.
Yes.
Now. I think this might legitimately be a bigger deal than Star Wars because nothing, I don't think anything has ever been done like this in the history of cinema.
No, not this many films that are linked under the same sort of umbrella. Yeah. And the characters interact and they cross
jumping
over
across and all that.
I think no one's had that commitment to any film franchise for ever, have they?
It has never been done. I mean, the closest thing you can think of is, oh, James Bond, because that didn't last. That
yeah,
has lasted.
Had a lot of them, but they've been different incarnations. But
they're pretty much standalone.
Yeah.
They don't link into anything. There isn't this big overarching story that goes from one film into another film. All that. So this is pretty much, let's see, I think this is the 19th movie that this is the 19th movie that Marvel Studios have made in the last 10 years. And when you bear in mind that they didn't start off like, you know, firing them off. They started off sort of tentatively going, we'll give you Iron Man, see if you like Iron Man. Okay, then we'll give you Incredible Hulk. Maybe give you a little bit of Thor. What do you think about that? Oh, you're happy with that? Okay, we'll give you Captain America. And so when you think about that, to make 19 films over 10 years, they've pretty much been making two a year. But that means that there have been some years where they've made three of them. And mostly speaking, they haven't dropped the ball. They just haven't dropped the ball. Some of them have been a bit tentative. Some of them have been a bit, I think especially some of the early ones.
Yeah.
But to make 18 movies, and each time, I'm a Marvel fan. I've been reading the comics since I was a kid. And each time a new film comes out, I mean, even on this show, I have expressed my fear that this might be the time.
Yeah, when it suddenly all starts falling apart.
This might be the time where it starts unraveling. This might be the time where it gets too unwieldy. This might be a time when they disappear up their own orifices. this might be the time where... It's happened for the last couple of films. I've been like, oh, I don't know. Oh, my God, I hope Black Panther's going to be good. Oh, I hope Doctor Strange is going to be good. Oh, I hope God... But each time they just keep impressing me and impressing me. So much so that right now, I'm just kind of like, with this film, because there's been so much speculation as to what's going to happen in this film. What's going to happen?
Who dies?
Exactly. Is this the end of the road for some characters?
Are there some Avengers not going to be available for any future avenging?
Yes, and the people think about the fact that in the real world, you say, well, you look at this, some people, Robert Downey Jr. is coming to the end of his contract, Chris Evans coming to the end of his contract. So does that mean how are those real world implications going to impact into the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Are these characters not going to be around for much longer? So there is so much of this speculation going on about this movie.
So we know that you're not possibly going to answer any of those questions.
Oh, good Lord.
are some of those answered within the film?
Oh, but yes.
Okay, yes. So we know that there's going to be some sort of... Those questions we're going, what about... We may get some answers, but I'm not going to push you.
No, because we...
That wouldn't be fair.
We firmly believe in no spoilers on this show. Yes. We firmly believe we're not going to spoil it. I know that there's some reviews I've listened to, and there's some reviews that you read, and you think, what the... You're as bad as those trailers that tell you the whole film before you go in. And we're this film is so packed full. So this is what they've been building up to for 10 years. All the characters that they've had, all the different films in eight. So this is characters in 18 different disparate films that they're bringing together in this one big movie. This film has so many characters in it, all of who have carried their own movies and stuff like that. And it's... It's so hard to say a lot, any much about this film without it being a spoiler. It's hard to say, well, you know, there's a scene with blah 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 without it being a spoiler.
Yeah, well, we know what's been in the trailers, so we can stick to what's been in the trailers.
But what I'll just say is, this film, I am so happy with it.
Oh, good.
Beforehand, I'm kind of like, beforehand, I was like, okay, is it going to be good? Oh man, I really, really hope it's good. I really, really hope it's good. After all, I was like, you know what? They've earned the right. They've earned the right to tell whatever story they want to tell. Whether I like it or not, they've earned the right to tell whatever story, because they have been awesome over the last 10 years. They have done brilliant stuff for the last 10 years.
Yeah, there's some cracking films come out there. So timeline-wise,
yes,
we've just had Thor Ragnarok, and we had Guardians of the Galaxy 2 last year.
Mm-hmm. And Black Panther earlier this year.
So we've had the three, and so... Because with Thor Ragnarok, it was hard to know, and they told you specifically in that film, this is 2 years after the last Avengers.
The last Avengers movie, yes.
Yes,
yep.
So it's 2 years after. So it's similar time frame. It's almost like this is 2 years after that last film, or is it 3 years after that last
film? Okay, this film, it's pretty much a direct follow-on from the last couple of films. So Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Thor Ragnarok, this film almost sort of picks up the story from where those films end.
Yeah, because you saw Thor had his like flotilla of refugees from his Asgard in his sort of ship, didn't he? And he was sort of heading off who knows where.
Yeah.
To Midgard, possibly. And then we knew that at the end of Guardians, the Guardians with sort of teenage Groot. I am Groot. You're boring.
Oh, my God.
So we had teenage Groot and the Guardians having had their fight with Ego and all that malarkey.
Yeah.
They're heading off into, you know, they said goodbye to
some
of their world. So it's all converging on to a certain
it's
point.
It's all converging to this film. It's all coming to this film. And the thing that brings this this film, okay, first and foremost, you need to talk about what is going to bring all these people together. They've all fought their own bad guys. Yeah. They've all fought their own villains. What is going to be big enough?
The one big bad.
And this is Thanos, who has been teased, played by Josh Brolin, who has been teased for film after he first of all showed up at the end of the first Avengers movie, and he showed up in the background. He's in the background, and this time he steps front and center. And my word, does he step front and center? He is just, I mean, he is, because the problem I always thought was, okay, are they going to have a bad guy who is going to look, who's going to look big enough and menacing enough for them to bring everybody together? Are they going to? And they so do it. And Josh Brolin, the effects guys, knock it out of the park. Because we had Justice League last year, which had problems because it on the surface it seems like it has a very similar storyline to Avengers: Infinity War. It is that you have this guy who's going to come over. He's coming to Earth and he wants to have like, oh, I want to collect all these things. I want to collect all these things. Then I shall be all powerful and all that. And one of the problems was that bad guy just looked like like he'd been made in a computer somewhere. And not a very good one.
Right.
you could see that. But this, you keep looking for the join with this Thanos, and I'm thinking, is he just wearing makeup? You're wondering, because he looks like Josh Brolin. He looks good. And the performance just shines through, and it looks amazing. After a while, you just stop saying, okay, I'm going to stop trying to figure out whether that's a performance thing or a computer graphic. I'm just going to watch it. And the Thanos is so convincing. He is, you totally buy that this guy is as bad as he says. Mm. You totally buy that they're going to need every single hero that they can find to fight this guy. He is so on point. And I think Josh Brolin is almost the MVP of this film, because it's very, very easy to take someone like that and just make him, oh, I'm a bad guy. I want to wreak destruction. But even, and they did something similar, like in Black Panther, we talked about how the motivation for the black, for the bad guy, you could understand.
Mm.
You could understand where he was coming from. And Thanos' motivation, it's almost kind of like anybody who who says that the world is overpopulated, and it's like, oh, the world's overpopulated, we need to da-da-da-da-da. I think Thanos is kind of like, you know, he, essentially, his point of view and what he's trying to do comes from that point of view. It comes from that, from the point of view of people who say
there's just too many people.
Yeah, the world is overpopulated. Yeah. Thanos is kind of, he's pretty much kind of like someone who's taken that to some extreme and taking that. And you look at him and you go, there is some kind of logic in that. There's some kind of logic in what he wants to do. And there's bits that you don't expect in this film that come up that are shocks. And they have to do with him, and they have to do with the way he's played, and they have to do with the way that the character is, the way he's characterized, and mostly to do with Josh Brolin's performance. But one of the best things about this film is, like, you see, because of the nature of it, you have, obviously, you've seen these characters over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
You've seen your Iron Mans, and you've seen your Doctor Strange, and you've seen your Black Widows, and you've seen, like, Scarlet Witch and all that. But now, you have these, you have these sort of like mixtures of superheroes that you've never seen before, these combinations.
Yeah.
Because obviously some of them have never met before. So this is the first time that you're going to see that character meet that character.
Because you see in the trailer, don't you, that Spider-Man meets Doctor Strange. Because they have that funny scene, isn't it? What's your name? Oh, it's Doctor Strange. Oh, we're using our made-up.
Yeah, we're using our made-up names. In that case, I'm Spider-Man.
Yeah. This is all in the trailer. So that's a pairing you wouldn't have put together, would you?
Yeah.
Young Spider-Man. You know, Doctor Strange with his red cape.
Yeah. Generally speaking, the cape's awesome. The cape is awesome in this film. Generally speaking, the pairings and the mixtures and the team ups that they put in this film, because it's universe spanning.
Yeah.
And so because this thing is so big, they pull off such a feat with a storyline of, there is so much stuff going on. This is going to be universe spanning.
Yeah.
While Thanos is trying to do this, this person is trying to do that. This person has this other plan and all. But keeping track of everybody and giving everybody something to do.
Well, that's usually, because you don't want to be the one guy, that one guy who's like, well, I'm just Hawkeye in this particular lineup.
well, the truth is, people complain about the There has been some criticism level of the film that some characters are underused. And yeah, true. I mean, I will. There's definitely some characters are underused.
Yeah.
But that's I'm like, if you tried to use them, I mean,
you'd have a 4-hour film, wouldn't
exactly,
you?
Exactly. You'd have a 4-hour film, but everybody has something to do. Yeah. Every character has something that is true to who they are. And if you've liked any of these characters over the last 10 years, there will be bits in it that will have you punch in the air. Yeah. Because you're like, yes!
That's
yes,
the moment we've been waiting for.
That's the character I love. That is what they do. That is why I like them. That is what they're trying to... And there will be bits where you will end up punching the air. I found myself with a massive smile on my face, a different varying bits of the film. I found myself going, what? Quite a few times throughout the film. And also... In the midst of all this stuff, because it never strays from how dire the situation is. There's bits where you're watching the film and you're thinking, oh my word, how on earth are they going to get out of this? I can't see it. I can't see how they're going to get out of this. They are in big trouble. But so it never lets that go, how dire the situation
tension.
Is. But this film is extremely funny. It is so funny. So you have characters like Drax the Destroyer from Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. And he...
He's one of the funniest ones in Guardians, anyways.
He's one of the funniest ones in Guardians, and he has his moments where he just keeps coming up with these things that you're like, "Oh my god, that is so Drax!" I have it's a good film. It is just such a good film. If I had to level a criticism at it, I would say that there are some bits where it feels. It's not so much that it's doing a lot of narrative heavy lifting, where it's trying to say, "Okay, cool, now we have to explain how things work and all that." It's not so much that, but it's just that. Because the story is so wide and it's so expansive, there's some bits where it might sag a bit, where you're trying to be, okay, cool, get it to the point, get to where we're going, get to where we're... And there's a couple of bits where it might sag a little bit, or it might just feel like, oh, where are we going? A couple of the action sequences, I think mainly because there's just so many people, it's a little hard to track what's going on. They're not as clear or as crisp, they're not as clear as... Oh, that's what that guy's just done. Oh, he's just done that. Oh, that's what Wilma's just done. Look what she just did. But if you have a favorite character...
You just pick them, do you, and just follow them.
Well, if
you can.
You get to see what they do. You get to see what they do. There's a hilarious thing they do with the Hulk. There's a hilarious motif that keeps coming back and recurring with the Hulk. That I just think that they just keep... What they do with the Hulk in this film... I think it's hilarious. I think it's genius the way they just keep they keep coming back to it as well. They keep coming back to it. I think Mark Ruffalo is brilliant as Bruce Banner / the Hulk in this. Robert Downey Jr. He is so good in this. There's a scene where he is one of these things where, you know, you see a scene where he's acting without saying many words.
Yes.
But you can see what this character has decided to do. And you can see, okay, this is where this is going. And you can see, this is what I'm... It's all sort of in his face. It's all in his, and you can see that he's made a decision that and there's bits of this film. There's a bit of this film. I'm not even gonna lie. Quite frankly, I started crying.
Wow.
I actually felt tears. Yeah. I felt tears in my eyes. Like, one bit of the film. I was just like, oh, this is... I can't believe they're doing this. I can't believe they're pulling this off. Watch it. I can't believe. And all the way through to the end. The point the film ends on, the final shot of the film, I think is just so kind of perfect.
Right.
I think it's kind of perfect. You feel like they've stuck with the story that they're trying to tell.
Yeah.
They've built something. There's another one coming because there was a...
Is there some hidden... Not hidden scenes, but, you know, are there some scenes post-credits and all that on this film?
It really wouldn't be Marvel if there wasn't a post-credits
scene. No, so you've got to stick around then to the end.
Although, to be honest with you, the way the film ends, I wasn't expecting a post-credits thing, but I hung around until the end of the credits because I wanted to know what the next Avengers movie is going to be called. Because, you know, they usually say, they're like at the end of Black Panther, they had T'Challa will return in Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
And so they usually at the end, they'll say this person will return in, and they'll tell you the name of the next film. And I wanted to know what the next... They don't tell you what the name of the next film is, but I was surprised that there is actually an end credit sting, which I will not say anything about. I will not say anything about it.
But it's worth staying on for?
It's worth staying on for if you know a little bit about where the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going.
Okay.
The way it ends, even in the end credits, they still manage to put like these little grace notes for characters that you're like, oh my god, that's so great, that is so amazing, and the final shots of the end credits thing, just it had people in the cinema clapping. We had people in the cinema clapping when I watched it. They're like, oh yeah, but it's It's a great film. It's a great film.
It sounds like it delivered then on different levels. That it delivered as like entertaining, if it was humour. It delivered on the dramatic side, if it sort of makes you respond emotionally.
Yes.
And it respond, and it made you, intellectually, you're thinking, hey, this makes sense for the characters, for the world it lives in, for the universe. So yeah. It sounds like it's delivered on many different levels.
It is an amazing achievement of a film. I mean, I know I said that when Black Panther came out, that it was an amazing achievement.
Yeah.
But I am honestly in awe of what Marvel have managed to do. They've managed to make you care about these characters over 10 years. There's some of them who are, I was trying to count it, I was like, some of the, this is the 8th film that you've seen them in. Some of them is the 2nd film you've seen them in, but they still feel fully fleshed out. They feel fully fleshed out. And like the when you put them, I remember the first Avengers movie, putting all these characters in, one of the joys is just watching them bounce off each other and seeing the way they interact. And there's a lot of that in this film where it's like you just see a scene where you're like, yep, with that guy in the same scene with that guy, that is how that would go. This is what would happen. This is, and you see a bit of that in the trailer. It's hilarious. The film is hilarious. The film is dramatic. The film has some emotional resonance. Some bits more than others. There's some bits where I felt like it was like, I see what you're going for there, but the performances are selling it more than the story that you've told so far. Mm-hmm. And some bits of it where it wasn't that much, but they pack a wallop. There's a particular relationship that they try that I feel like they haven't done enough with it to make you care as much, but they still manage to make you go, oh yeah, this is a mega moment. And there's a bit so in the final third of the movie that actually had me, even when I fell back on it, I was like, oh yeah, obviously that's what would happen. But when it happened, I was like, no! I actually audibly went, no! So yeah, Avengers Infinity War, I would give it a very, very, very high 4 out of 5.
Wow, good.
I'll give it it's a 9 out of 10 movie.
Yes.
I think there's some bits in it that I don't think are quite...
It's not the perfect film, but it's darned good.
Oh, it is. It's, and bearing in mind what they had to do and how all the characters they had to juggle with, I am in awe. I don't think this has ever been done in the history of cinema. Yep. What Marvel are doing at the moment. And I just think it's impressive, and I think it needs to be applauded. But anyway, enough about me, like, you know, and my having my fanboy nerdgasm. So like, enough about me going, oh my god, it's amazing, everybody does. Before I start talking about DC and how they're just messing everything up, and that they should go home and do your homework and look at what Marvel have done. We're going to take some messages in the ad break.
The White Military and Heritage Museum in Northwood. The museum will excite your senses and immerse you in a world of human success over adversity. Call 01983-300037 for more details or to book your ride.
A missing child, a murder. In a demanding, male-dominated world, WPC Villalli searches for clues, juggling career with her marriage and childcare. Policing's a tough job. Could you do it? Hold tight. I was hooked from page one, says Jill Kay in Genuine Magazine. Michelle McGorian, author of Goodnight, Mr. Tom, says, Hold Tight is fantastic, unputdownable. Hold Tight by Felicity Fair Thompson. Available online or from your favourite bookshop.
This is Vectis Radio, the Isle of Wight's local community station. Vectis Radio was set up on the 23rd of January 2010 and has been running successfully ever since. We are a community radio station which promotes local businesses, events, charities and more, whilst also giving opportunities for people of all ages to broadcast live radio. For more information, call 01983 527 733.
ICEC in Freshwater, the catering equipment company. We service, repair, refurbish and sell catering equipment. We can also purchase equipment if required, whether it's part exchange or brand new. We also deliver. To find out how we can help with your catering equipment needs, call us on 01983 756 628 or check out our website www.icec1.co.uk.
We all know the problem. You want to listen to your favourite Vectis show, but your blimmin' life is getting in the way. What with work and the obligation of having to care for your kids. Well, don't worry, we've got a cunning plan. quit work and have the kids adopted. Failing that, you can always catch up with your favourite shows through Vectis Radio on Mixcloud, whether it's the Rock Monster show, the Retro show, or something entirely different. There's enough to satisfy all your listening needs, unless you like jazz or classical. Click on the link on the Vectis Radio homepage or go to mixcloud.com/Vectis Radio iPlayer.
Broadcasting to you from the Riverside Centre in Newport, this is your Vectis Radio, FM 104.6.
Welcome back to Vectis Movies. Before the break, you heard me waxing lyrical and going on and on. And I think I impressively spoke for about 20 minutes without giving any spoilers.
No spoilers. We don't know what's going on in that film, other than there's things going on.
There's things going on. Stuff happens.
Yeah.
To borrow where I heard another critic say, it's like, get ready because stuff happens. and it's so, yeah, but it's very good. And everybody in the film is on top of their game. Everybody in the film is top of the game. If you like Thor, on top of his game. You like Scarlet Witch, top of a game. You like Scarlett Johansson, plays Black Widow,
yeah,
top of the game.
Guardians guys. I like Brax and I like Chris Pratt.
Yeah, the bits where like the characters from Black Panther show up so they have some great lines.
Everybody, does Groot turn up? Obviously, Groot's with the galaxy. So do we have a Groot moment?
Oh, we have a Groot moment.
Yay.
Yeah, we have
Groot.
we have numerous Groot moments. We have Groot news. It's everybody has a moment in this film. It's such an achievement. Anyway, so moving on, because we can't spend the whole hour talking about this film, even though I would give me a chance and I would try to talk for this film for an hour without telling you anything, quite frankly. We've got to move on to other movies that had the I would say the guts to be released in the same week as this film, because this film is gonna wipe the board. So, Sharon, you went to see a film. What did you
think? Yes, you could almost say this film was like the antithesis of the Marvel Universe.
Yep.
This was like, you know, you bring it down, you got the massive, massive scale, you bring it down to something intimate. So I went to see the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society.
Very well done in saying that title. Yeah. I don't think I've managed to get through that title once without mucking it up at some point.
You're overthinking it. You're thinking, what comes first, literary or the potatoes? Literary first.
Okay. All right, cool. So what is this film about?
The film is basically set in 1946, and it's a story of a young woman played by Lily James, who's an author. She wrote these popular Izzy Bickerstaff books during the war, which is about this guy who's sort of in his experience, like he's a farmer who just made his way through the war. So she's this popular writer, and she's been set this task of like her next book. She wants to write something a bit different. She wants to sort of reconnect with her sort of like literary roots. And she set this task of, you know, you've got to find a story for the time. She's just got to write this story. And she starts this correspondence with a chap who was in Guernsey during the German occupation. And he said, you know, during the war, they set up this society called the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society as a book club and as a front for other activities.
But
it's primarily a book club. And one of the books that they used to read during their sessions during the war was one that she'd owned as a child, and she had a name written in it. And he wrote to her saying, I've got your book. And it meant an awful lot to me during the war. And he thought she was an old lady, and he thought he was an old farmer. So when they meet, they're both sort of young and lovely. Mm-hmm. So that's a different part of the story. You get the idea.
Yeah, moving on.
So she's then inspired, thinking, actually, this sounds like a great idea. If I go to Guernsey and meet these people, this could be the basis of my next story, even if it's like as simple as an article or something that develops more. And then she goes to Guernsey, and then she discovers, you know, what life was like under the German occupation.
Yeah,
the restrictions of movement they had. They weren't. Like the farmers had all their crops confiscated, and they were told you have to produce this crop for the German army.
Yeah,
and they were on rations that were so sort of just above starvation level. But you know, they even though they produced all this food, and they had the Guernsey cows, and they were denied all the produce of their labours.
Yeah, because it's still a sort of like not known. It's a little known bit of history.
Yes,
that there was a bit of the British Isles that actually got occupied by
Germany. That was occupied by the Germans
during World War II.
Yeah, and it had the elements of you know, what it was like being under occupation and what happens if you form friendships with Germans and how women who formed friendships with Germans were called Jerry bags. And they were known as this for years afterwards. And like collaborators were, you know, reviled for years afterwards. And so, but the heart of this story is how this woman goes to Guernsey just to what she thinks is going to be this twee, oh, little reading group, how books helped us through the war. And it's about the relationships within this circle of people, how they each gave what the other needed to survive certain circumstances. And one of the people who was a founder member of the group is not there. And basically, it's trying to run, what she's trying to discover, why is this one person missing? What happened to this one person who everyone talks about in sort of oblique sort of ways? They never talk about her directly. And she's like, well, what happened to so and so? Where did she go? What's happening there?
We do not talk about so and so.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, it's have just, a pie. Yeah.
And so that so it's her story that is revealed through the telling of the film.
Okay.
And so yeah, it's a great little film. It's one of those sort of. It's intimate in that it's about this sort of one person's journey of discovery to finding out about the other person, and by finding out about their lives, she understands more about her own. And it's one of those things, you know, where you just, it sort of, you understand about the human condition. And you get to that glimpse, it's not mainly about the history, but you get a glimpse of what it would have been like for British subjects to be under enemy occupation, which is something that we just... not used to having to accept that as part of British history.
Yes, yes.
That, you know, you were subjugated and they were treated appallingly. And they also had to watch, sit back and watch, almost helpless, to slave labour that was brought into Guernsey and Jersey to fortify it. All these forts and pillboxes that they built, they didn't use the local labour, they brought in slave labour to build them.
Yeah.
And so you see the hints of, you know, them having to stand back almost helpless and watch these people... brutalized.
So I'm guessing that at no point in time does anybody grab a laser cannon and shoot at somebody else in this film.
No, they don't.
No, oh, man. Okay.
You're quite safe to say this. I can't think there are any weapons in this film.
Because this is based on a book.
It's based on a book. And the book is constructed in one of those interesting ways. I read the book when it first came out, a long time ago now. It's all letters. It's like this exchange of letters between the two people. So there's no sort of narrative about it. It's like this one person writes a letter, then they write another letter. And it's all this exchange of the whole story is told in the exchange of letters. And then you get one diary entry that sort of, you know, joins all the dots at the end.
Oh, yeah.
So it's quite an interesting device that was used. But it's quite an effective way of telling the story, but it's each person obviously gets to tell their little piece of the story, and the story unfolds through these series of letters. But the film, obviously, you can't make a film like that.
Yeah, or just people sat down writing
just
letters.
Writing or typing.
In very, very good lighting.
With a voiceover. So it's a quite different to the book in terms of, you know, how it's constructed, but the main themes and obviously the story it tells is very, very close to the book. Oh. The odd bit where you're going, huh?
Whoa, what's going on?
But
there?
You can understand why, because of the way the book was written.
All right, cool. So you said we had Lily James, who plays the main character.
Yes.
Yeah, it's if you got Michael Huseman in it as well.
Yes, he plays the farmer she starts her correspondence with. He suffered an injury to his shoulder when he was a young man, so he was not eligible to be in the army.
Yeah.
So he's a young man of fighting age, but he was not in uniform. So, because I was wondering, I thought he's a big strapping type. I thought, why wasn't he in the army? That was my first thought. Why aren't you in the army? And he's explained that he'd had an injury as a young man. It made him ineligible to fight.
Yeah.
And then so it's his character. Then you've got the members of the Potato Peel, the Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. You've got...
because it's Tom Courtney.
He's like the postmaster, who during the war they closed down all the post offices and stopped the mail.
Yeah,
but he was like the postmaster, and then you've got Penelope Wilton. She's like a sort of trusty farmer's wife.
Because I figure that after that the cast does sort of skew older.
Yes,
you've
got a couple of younger ones. Obviously, you've got. I forget her name. She's a character actress. She's in lots of things. Who plays another one of the members of the society who makes gin? That's her thing. She she's a gin maker, and she's sort of almost like this. It's like a Wicca type character where she's got all her remedies and she's got all her her potions and things, but she's not. She's just this someone who likes making remedies and gin.
That's the way we go through the hard times. Yeah. That gin, got us through it. All right. So, so with the film, obviously, you don't want to tell about where the film goes or anything like that. But what do you? Does it go where you think? Predictable? Any shocks? Any left turns? Or
no, I don't think there's any shocks in it. You, the unfolding of this sort of the other story of I don't think it's her name, Elizabeth. It's just going out of my head.
Yeah, well, the main character.
The main character.
Lily James.
Lily James. And she's trying to find out about a character played by Jessica Finn. No, what's her name? She was in Downton. Her name's gone out. She was the younger sister in Downton Abbey.
Don't know.
Jessica something Findlay.
Jessica Findlay Brown.
Jessica Findlay Brown, that's the one.
Okay.
She plays. You see her throughout the film, but you never see her in 1946. You see her in flashbacks to what happened during the war. As you find out about her character. Yeah, but yeah, and there's sort of, so there's, no, there's, that's interesting. There's sort of your twist and turn involving her character and about why she makes some of the choices she did.
Mm-hmm.
But as terms of, you know, at the beginning you meet certain characters and you more or less know where they're going to be at the end of the film.
Yeah.
So that, in that, and but it's, you know that it's a film that's aimed at a certain demographic and it's based on a novel that has a certain appeal. So you know that it's, they're not all suddenly going to turn out to be ghosts. This just, they're all dead. And you've just
they were underwater the whole time. Yeah. Okay, good, because this film on the surface, it reminds me of a film that was released a while back called Their Finest.
Yes, very similar to that. Though there's obviously a bit of a twist in the Their Finest. We won't tell you what it is, but there is a twist in The Finest. There isn't in this, in that you don't suddenly get that, whoa, didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
This is much more...
Much more Sunday afternoon, around about 3 o'clock on BBC.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Okay, that's what I thought it would be like. That's the feeling I got. So I guess I think the term is what, chocolate box or something like
that. Yes, it's something like it's a film I would say that you can relax into, and it's a comfortable film.
Yep.
You can be shocked by the content of some of the things the characters experience, but it's not. There's nothing graphic. You don't see anything. It's told and it's suggested, but all the horrors of the war that we know happened,
mm-hmm.
you're shielded from those. And certain they respect the fact that you know what happened to these people. You don't have to see it.
Yep.
And so yeah, there is an element of restraint, which I must admit, I'd like a bit of restraint in in my dramas.
A bit of restraint, a bit of like, oh, it's all what's not said. It's all like very, very British.
Yeah, because some things don't have to be spelt out. You know what they're going through without having to be told.
All right.
Explicitly. So I enjoyed it. I went to see this with Sean, who's normally with us today.
Yep.
He didn't like it as much as me, because he'll give his own opinion of it. But I think he said it was all right, but it's not really his sort of film.
Yeah.
Where it was, you know, you have to accept, you know, that films are aimed at a certain market.
Yes.
And I would say it was probably aimed at people like me, you know, sort of middle-aged women. Or older people who like something that's going to be entertaining but not threatening. There's going to be drama, but there's going to be nothing offensive in it. You know, that you know what you're going to get.
Yeah, at the end, it will be all right in the end.
Yes, and even though I didn't know the whole content of the film, I would have been comfortable with going to see it with a friend, with my mum, with an older friend. I would have been happy sitting there watching it, because sometimes you sort of squirm thinking, oh, I don't want to be watching things of a suggestive nature. <It's> with my elders with me.
so a nice comfortable movie you can take your mum to.
Yes, absolutely.
With that being the case, how many stars would you give it?
I would give it a 3.5.
3.5? Oh, 3.5. Yeah. We've got to switch to 10.
Yeah, we're sort of squeezing this big three. We have a three. Well, I've told you before, I'm a part of Goodreads, and they have a 5-star rating.
Yeah.
5 stars is like, it was absolutely amazing. Yeah. 4 stars is like, I loved it. 3 stars is like, I liked it.
Yeah.
2 stars is like, it's okay.
Yeah.
And 1 star is like, don't bother.
Yeah, yeah.
So most of the books I read are like 3 and 4 stars. Yep. I rarely have a, it's amazing. And I rarely have a, it was okay.
Yeah.
They're always like 3 and 4. So my films are very similar. I don't tend to watch things that I know that I'm not going to like. I think, basically.
Well, you're looking and going, no.
No.
All right. We're going to go wait for an ad break, and then we'll be back to discuss the final film this week, which is the, what is the American pronunciation, or what is the British pronunciation in leisure and leisure?
British is leisure. American is leisure.
Okay, seeing as we are in Britain, we'll say the leisure seeker.
The leisure seeker. Vectis Radio
104.6. For the people, by the people. Island Harbour presents The Breeze Restaurant and Bar. We offer a variety of delicious foods which can be enjoyed inside the recently refurbished restaurant or outside, overlooking the picturesque marina. Start your day well with something from our breakfast menu. Enjoy afternoon tea with a slice of freshly made cake or drop by for an evening meal with the family. We offer a range of tasty British classics with a choice of daily specials. Our produce is locally sourced to ensure quality and taste. The Breeze Restaurant and Bar, one of the Solent's best kept secrets. Call us today on 533-388.
West White Audio, the island's technical troubleshooters. Having problems with your phone, or are your electrics on the blink? Maybe you need your appliances or your building wiring tested, or just a light fitted. We've got it covered. For friendly, reliable service, call Kelvin on 754666 or click westwhiteaudio.co.uk. All island coverage.
The Isle of Wight Kidney Patient Association is here to help all renal patients on the island. We also offer support to the local dialysis unit. We can help with financial backup for patients and partners, with travel expenses or hospital treatment. We also have a program of social events and activities, as well as fundraising that links the community together. Call us on 01983 611 671 or visit our website on iowkidneypatientassociation.com.
Do you suspect there may be some bullying going on within your company? Have you wondered what, if anything, you can do to stop it? Break the Cycles one-day workshop, Thriving in the Workplace, is the solution to any bullying that may be impacting the smooth running of your organisation, leading to increased staff turnover. There may be negative PR for your company if it's associated with bullying and nothing is done. For more information about this one-day workshop on workplace bullying, click breakthecycle.org.uk or email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk, or you can call us on 01983 754 666 for an informal chat.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, the island's local station.
Hello and welcome back to Vectis Movies, with you until 7 o'clock, at which time Brian Curtis shall be taking over with the Eclectic Mix. I always love whatever song he chooses to kick. Like, when our show finishes, I think Brian does a brilliant job of choosing the first song to kick off his show. I especially like the Motown ones. Brian's sitting out there in the vein, like, yeah, Motown, we getting some Motown. That's what I like to see, a thumbs up. I was like, yeah, give me something. Keep on running, or something like that. Anyway, now on to our third and final film of this week. And this
Leisure
Britain. In the film, they say leisure. And this is a film that seemed to come out of nowhere. In the break, we were having a discussion about how there seem to be all these films that just seem to have come out of nowhere. And I didn't even see a single trailer for this film. I was coming out of one film, and I think I went to see A Quiet Place last week.
Yes.
I saw, and as I was coming out of it, I saw the poster for this, and it was a poster of Donald Sutherland holding, like, hugging Helen Mirren on a beach. And I was like, oh, The Leisure Seeker, what is this?
Yeah.
And so I just thought, well, I'll go see it. It's got Donald Sutherland in it. It's got Helen Mirren in it. It cannot be bad.
Yeah. And class. Is it based on a book?
It is based on a book.
Nicholas Sparks or something like that? Or am I just making that up? I don't know.
It's not Nicholas Sparks. It's an author I hadn't heard of before. It's directed by, I meant to look this up, but it's directed by a guy called Paolo Verzi, which it's obviously that he could be from anywhere, but it sounds like it's an Italian sounding name. And the film does have this sort of feel about it that's a bit like, it's set in America. It's set in America, and the film starts off during the 2016 election. So it pretty much starts off with a campaign rally speech by Donald Trump. It starts over there, and the funny thing is, like, kicking off a film like that, depending on whatever your political leaning is, or your political thing, or your view. That's quite. It sets a scene.
Yes.
If you set up, like, you know, if you're kicking up a film with a rally speech by Donald Trump talking about we're gonna make America great again and all that, and
yeah, it's, you're either gonna reach for, you know, some anesthetist, you know, just knock me out now.
Well, yes, yeah. And so it sets up, but. It sort of tells you almost like, well, this is a particular point, this is the background in which this film is being told. And it's so, yeah, but it has this sort of feel of more like one of these European movies where it's about, it's like, okay, not much happens.
Mm-hmm.
Not much happens, but it's going to be a bit of a character study. It's going to be, it reminded me a bit of, there was a film made a while back called Amour. It was a couple of years ago. It was a French movie, and it was all about an old couple and how they deal with something that happens. I think in the film, the lady has dementia, and she's being, and it's about how this man who's been with her her whole life is dealing with her previously forgetting. And the film has a little bit of that in it, mm-hmm. but I always feel like that style doesn't always marry well with America, because America seems to be a bit more showy and doesn't let itself of that.
Doesn't like those little stories that are about relationships and not about a dramatic event within a relationship. It's just about the relationship itself.
Exactly. So this film kicks off with a man who's going to a house. He goes to a house. As it transpires, it turns out that this house is his parents' house, and He's his parents are Donald Sutherland and Helen Mirren, and he shows up. He's like, "Mom, Dad, where are you?" And they can't find them anywhere. And they're like, "But they can't go anywhere. They can't go." They're like, "They couldn't have gone anywhere because the car's outside." And he goes, "Wait, no!" And then he runs to this big garage and opens it up. And the garage is empty. And he phones up his sister's like, "Hi, the leisure seeker is gone." And so the leisure seeker turns out to be what in America they call the Winnebago, which is pretty much is one of those caravans, but not the caravan,
the built-in cab, isn't it?
Exactly, the building cab caravan, not the one that you drag along behind the car, the one that is the car itself.
Yeah.
And you find out that it's Helen Mirren and Donald Sutherland, and they've taken this Winnebago and they've run off somewhere. And their children are trying to find out, spend a lot of the film trying to find out where have they gone on to. As the film goes on, you find out that the reason why one of the children is so freaked out is because it turns out that one of them has cancer, and it's like quite sort of like late stage, needs mm-hmm. treatment now, cancer, and the other one has dementia.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so as it goes on, and I think the way the film reveals this, it's quite well done. It's not obviously put out there. It's not obviously put, like, you know, signposted, like, "Oh, look, dementia." It's kind of in the little things and in the character and in the performances. There's just these little things that pop up every now and then, and you go, "Oh," and then it clues you in, and you're like, "Oh, I get what's going on. This is what's going on with this character. That's what's going on with this character." And then it turns out, so it becomes almost as if they're looking back over their lives. And you have all these scenes where they've decided to run away and they decided to go on a road trip because the children wanted to grab them and put them into care, or wanted to grab them and put them into treatment. And they're like, "Oh, no, I'm not sure I want that." So they run away. They run away and they decide to sort of relive the caravan holidays they used to have when the children were younger.
Yeah, and they could just pack up and go and have a holiday.
Yeah, they could just pack up, go have a holiday. But obviously, you have these two people who, if I told you, "Oh, there's two people, one of them has dementia and one of them has cancer," you think, yeah, they're not the best people to be going on a cross country trip themselves. And they decide to go from, this is a film, and this happens in a lot of American films. They expect you to understand the geography of America. Yes. So they start off in Massachusetts, which is up in the northeast of the country.
Northeast, yes.
And they are trying to get to Florida.
Which is way down south.
Which is down in the southeast of the country.
Yeah.
And so they're driving that, and there's all these scenes where they just keep meeting up with people and they just keep chatting and they just keep chatting. One of them starts chatting because they're going down to see Hemingway's house.
Is it Key West?
In Key West. In Key West in Florida. And good knowledge. And so whenever they stop, one of them starts talking to whoever listened about Hemingway and about how great Hemingway is. And do you realize that the thing that happened in this book with Hemingway? And the other one just starts going on about, "Oh, the holidays that we've had." And like, you know, "Oh, remember when we came around here?" And they have this whole thing where they'll talk your ear off. Either one way or another, they'll just talk your ear off. And you have these scenes that just stay with them and just stay with them talking people's ears off about whatever. And it's like what you get a feeling that the film's not that concerned with going anywhere, and you feel like the characters themselves are not that concerned. They're not in a hurry to get anywhere.
But they're there for the journey, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. And so then it's about reminiscing about their lives together and about what it meant when they had their children and who did what with whom back in the day that somebody else can't quite let go of. There is a scene. There's a scene in it. And I think it's quite... I haven't seen the trailer, so I don't know what they tried to spoil in it, but I don't want to tell you who is who in the film or anything like that, but there is a bit where one person wakes up and the other one has a gun in their face. The other one has a gun in their face going, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth about this person all those years ago. You had an affair, didn't you? I was always your second best. You never. Yeah. There's all these bits where you're like, are we supposed to laugh? Because obviously this is an illness that these people have. But you realize after a while, because these things are just funny. It's almost as if it goes, sure enough, you have all this stuff. Stuff happens in life, but funny stuff still happens.
Yes, you can still be you, even if you don't remember everything.
Exactly, you can still be you, because you just have all these bits that just keep... And I think Donald Sutherland and Helen Mirren are brilliant in it. They play off each other quite well, and they play their respective issues really, really, really well. And there's scenes in this that are really, really sort of nice, cute, lovely scenes between an old married couple who, like, you know, are late in their life and are comfortable around each other, that all of a sudden get broken by whichever illness it is that comes in. And it just comes in and it just sort of like breaks the moment. And it's almost so violent in the way it breaks the moment. And it just sort of talks about the way how illness does invade your life.
Yes.
And how you can be going along and everything can be nice and easy, and all of a sudden, oh, good Lord, okay, that's it. The whole complexion of this evening has changed because of whatever illness it is that you have that has just sort of like come in and has invaded. So I think it's a very good film. It's obviously we speak about the Grey Pound and the Grey Pound, the Silver Dollar, that where they've started making more films that feature older people and about issues that older people have to face, which I think is brilliant. I am all for make more films that allow people to get old.
Yeah.
That show what
there's still life in the old dog yet.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, they make more films that do that. And I think this film is definitely in that bracket. If you're not a fan of things are going, it's in a way it's a gentle comedy, in a way it's a character study, in a way it's a drama
that's about
getting old and getting ill and what that means and about the things that have been said and unsaid in life and where you're moving forward. So I really, really like the film. I mean, going in not knowing anything about the film, not knowing what was going on, just seeing a poster and thinking, oh, those two are good.
Yeah.
I'll go watch that. I'll go watch pretty much anything that they're in. And going in from there, and I was pleasantly surprised with the film. I feel like the ending of the film is a bit signposted, and it's kind of like from kind of early on, you're thinking, well, this is probably the only way this film is going to end. and you're like, this is probably the only way this film is going to end. And it does. There's some scenes where you have like, with one character having dementia, when they go away and when they come back. I haven't had first-hand experience of dementia, but the way it's played in the film, it's very, very, it's heart-wrenching sometimes.
Yeah,
where
I often know people with it, and I've got gardening clients with it who've had it, and people still have gardening clients who have dementia, and you just have to learn how to communicate.
Yeah, because they have things where there's scenes where they're in the room and they're talking about something, or they still think, even though they're retired, they think they're still at work, so they're getting ready to go to work, and then they walk out of the room, and then they go, hang on, where am I? And it's so it's really, really well played. I would recommend, if anybody wants, if you're thinking, oh, I can't be standing with all this superhero nonsense and people, things blowing up and people punching each other in the face, I want to go watch a film that's totally not that, I can recommend The Leisure Seeker. The Leisure Seeker. However you want to go about it, it was a film that I really liked. I really enjoyed. It has some really, really so
So there's really plenty of stuff out there for the non-action hero, for the Marvel non-action universe hero, fan.
For the non-superhero fan, there's stuff out there. There's stuff
be
out
encouraged.
There that's sneaking in and it's just going, oh, you know what, we're never going to release a trailer, we're just going to put a poster.
And then, yeah, turn up if you want to.
Turn up if you want to, but I would recommend this. I mean, if you're, I think it's a bit like the Guernsey and etc. film. it's a bit like that. You can, it's like where you say, there's a certain group of people that you know this film is made for. It's a bit emotional, but it is also funny. It's a film I would recommend, and I would say, yeah, go find it, go watch it. It's going to be good. Right, with that, we're going to say goodbye. Our time is up. We will see you guys next week.
Yes.
Get to the cinema and watch any one of these films. Sorry, I'll give that 3.5 out of 5.
Okay.
Right, see you guys next week.